Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. I just returned from an 8-day silent retreat at a Jesuit retreat center. One night I read an article from a spiritual direction journal called Presence. It was about a woman. We'll call her Nancy. She was diagnosed with a fast-growing cancer and was preparing to die. Nancy requested the chaplain's help in a life review patterned after the sacrament of reconciliation. Nancy called herself an atheist. She said that her most deeply held value had been giving her life for others, particularly people without voice in the world, those who were unseen and unheard. She did not do this out of any religious motivation. It was simply what gave her own life meaning. Yet there was a time in her life when she had lived in a way that was incongruous with her deepest values. She had not been there for people who needed something she knew she could give, and she could not be at peace about this part of her life and the relationships that were altered or never formed during this time. This was what troubled her now, facing death. She said that she was grateful for her life and that cancer had been her teacher at the end. The chaplain was a Christian, but she agreed at Nancy's request not to use religious language in the life review. 2 days after the life review was completed, Nancy died peacefully. Beside the story about Nancy in the journal, Presence, there's a poem. Here it is. What becomes of those who never live by dying, who never burn away illusion and false hope, walking barefoot on soul-tendered coals? The wind skips stones across their placid surfaces. Buoyancy tips them sunward at a glide, interpreted as favor. Yet, it's the deep dive that takes the others down to uncertain drowning. Pearl diving for the truths that, gasping for breath, let the world be born. It's different hearing the gospel preached through the life and death of a person who calls herself an atheist, isn't it? Nancy has clearly accessed the mystery and the power of the path Jesus chose for his own life and his own death, giving his life so that others might live, so that the world might be born new what difference does believing make? Peter Morin was the man who convinced Dorothy Day to put out a newspaper called The Catholic Worker for a penny a paper. Peter Morin called the power of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christian dynamite. He said it was stored in the church, but that had not been blown in over 100 years. Maybe because Christians have been more interested in getting people to believe in Jesus instead of walking the path Jesus walked, instead of diving deep for the truths he lived. If this Christian dynamite blew, it would turn the world upside down. The Beatitudes would make the news alongside budget debates and negotiations about tax cuts. We might ask, what are our priorities? What's our vision for the world? What world do we want to be born by our choices? By what gets cut and what gets more money? We'd have to dive deep for the truths that have been buried deep for a long time. What would happen in our churches if that Christian dynamite blew? The power of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus stored in our churches. What would happen if it blew? There are little explosions, you know, happening now. Parents giving their lives for their children, parishes reaching out to neighbors, believers visiting the sick and accompanying the dying. My neighbors, Flo and Mike, just invited Flo's father, Mike's father-in-law, to live with them because his house burned and he can't really take care of himself. Some people are entering the political system to make a difference despite the struggle. It's not a complete blast, no, but there is a promise. One great day, the Lord will give us the grace to forget ourselves and make us able to give our lives for God's life. And with Paul, we can say, there are more and more people who are afflicted but not constrained, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. And then, those who know him and those who don't will follow Jesus, our brother, our Lord, from death to life. And all of us will be placed in his presence together. And our thanksgiving will overflow to the glory of the God we profess to believe in. What difference does it make to be a believer? Specifically, we know the source of our life, and we know who to thank. And we believe we can find him in the faces and the relationships of those for whom we give our lives. So as we go to Eucharist together today, let's remember the promise and Paul's words. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. That's the difference believing can make.